the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. So I've got some interesting information for you. I mean, let's talk about the 1%. The society loves to talk about the 1%. They think that within our culture, 1% of society is absolutely filthy rich. And our society, even though we're a capitalist society, and even though we are structured to not be socialist in nature, not structured to be communist in nature with how we govern our economies and our nation, even though we're not structured to be that way, there are people out there that, I'll be honest with you, they kind of tend to lean that way. And I don't know if it's because they've given up, they've thrown up their hands, and they said, dude, considering where I've started, there's no way I will be a part of the 1%. That is a bridge too far for me. So as a result of that, I'm not even going to try. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make it as difficult on other people to try and get to that 1% level, because I don't, my firm belief is I don't think it's obtainable, and I don't think you should try either. And unfortunately, there are people in this country that believe that. They totally believe that. And I think that's stinking thinking. I really do. I think one of the greatest things that exists in this country is the opportunity to pursue wealth and personal freedoms. That sort of stuff is written into the architecture of our country. Great Britain? They don't got it. Pakistan? Nope. Australia? Eh, not so much. Russia? Oh, really? I went there, didn't I? A communist nation. I went with a communist nation. Yeah, they don't got it either. When you look at the world and you break it down based on the different countries that exist within the world, there's only one country where you get the right to pursue wealth and freedom and independent happiness. And it's dialed right into our founding documents. So if you want to go out and you want to put a goal for yourself, and that goal would be obtain 1% status, I think that's an achievable goal. I absolutely think that's an achievable goal. And here's why. I'll be honest with you, I didn't define the 1% part, did I? I mean, go out and be in the 1%. Okay. There are probably things that you can do right now in your life, probably focused on whatever you either enjoy doing or you do for work or something like that, where you may actually be a top 1%er. You might be the top salesperson in your company. You might be the person that goes out and raises the most money for a charitable organization. Or maybe you just happen to do something with your life that allows you to obtain 1% status, regardless of how you measure it. But let's get back to that 1%. Everybody is concerned with the 1%. There are people in this country that abhor the 1%. They think the 1% is just getting over. They think the 1% is just that bridge too far. Well, I don't think it is. As a matter of fact, I did some research today that will help you obtain 1% status. You heard me correctly. I have gone out into the world and I have looked at what it takes to be a 1%er in different parts of the world. Yeah. Now, would you like to start with the United States? Because, I mean, after all, this is the United States. This is the country that we live in. And as a result of that, it is the place that we always look to. This is our control, if you will, our baseline, right? Okay. So I actually kind of cheated. I didn't do all the research. I actually found a Yahoo Finance article that put all this stuff together for me. And to be honest with you, I think they did a pretty good job. And I'm going to give them full credit because they saved me a lot of work. But in this article, Yahoo Finance ranks the United States the 22nd out of 23 countries that they analyzed where you can obtain 1% status. Now, for the United States, your annual pre-tax income needs to be, now remember, pre-tax income, your annual pre-tax income, this is what you bring into your household. $506,752. If you make at least $506,752 per year, pre-tax, you're part of the 1%. You are part of the 1% in this country. Are you there? Okay. If you're there, good job. If you're not there, not a problem. You're just part of the rest of us that are still in the 99%. Not a problem with that. Okay, let's talk about how we could at least get you to the 10% level. Because, I mean, after all, if you can't be in the number one position, being in the top 10, that can be pretty good, right? Sure can. All right, so Yahoo Finance says that in order for you to be considered as a part of the top 10% in the United States, your annual pre-tax income needs to be at least $138,475. Meaning if you make at least that amount of money annually, you're actually in the top 10%. Are you feeling a little bit better about yourself? Or did I make you feel not so good? All right. It really doesn't matter where you are on the scale, because what we want to talk about today is how we get you onto the scale and then moving upward. That's really where we're going. When we come back from the break, we're going to focus on Bangladesh. How did they make the list? All right, we'll do it.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So on today's show, I'm being drawn in by this article I found on Yahoo Finance, because I think it's very interesting, the perspective that people like to lay on finances. And the perspective that people like to lay on you and me with regards to our success level. Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. Because in our society, we tend to be in a society that's very, very competitive. I mean, think about it. When we started off in grade school, we competed, not amongst each other, but we competed against the test, if you will, in order to determine our ranking in the class. So however we scored on a test, we were rank ordered one through however many kids were in that class, right? And then you take another test, and then things start to shake out, all right? So at an early age, we have learned to be competitive. We have learned that in order to get ahead in the world, we actually have to go out there and do something about it. Yeah, America is not a country where you sit at home on the couch watching TV and having all of your bills paid for you. Okay, well, wait a minute. America is actually kind of that country in a certain respect, because there are people in this country that abuse the welfare system, that are multi-generational welfare recipients, and I don't think that that is a good thing for this country. That is Al's opinion. I think it's better to teach these folks that they can be productive members of society. And then once you give them that helping hand up and they realize that they're not reliant on the government, that they can actually go out there and make a difference for themselves, I think what happens to the self-esteem of those people is that it goes way up. I do. Unless they're absolutely just purely lazy, in which case, I don't know. I don't know what to say about those people. But then there's the uber rich too, right? I mean, they sit around on the house, you know, on the couch watching TV, right? They don't have to go out and do anything, do they? Well, actually, I think they do. Actually, I think they do, because if you're uber rich, if you're that 1% we're kind of talking about on the show, the reality of it is this: you have figured out how to work on your business as opposed to working in your business. Yeah, because the people that make the top 1% of income in the world, they don't go to the office 9 to 5 every day. And if they do, it's probably not the same office every day, because these people tend to own multiple companies. And if they don't own multiple companies, they own a company that has multiple divisions to them. Yeah. Think about it. These are people that have figured out how to run their businesses effectively. And here's the other thing. They have also figured out that they do not need to trade their personal time for a paycheck. They have figured out that their personal time and talent is potentially worth a lot more then somebody else would pay them to do work. I know, it's kind of a mind-blowing concept, isn't it? And what if you're one of those people? What if you're one of those people that is currently trading time for money right now, working for somebody else, doing what they say based on their timeline, based on their time schedule, but maybe you're more competent and capable than what you let on. Okay, here's what I'm getting at. At Lifestyles Unlimited, we've got 50,000 members. 50,000 people that come to Lifestyles Unlimited specifically to learn how to change what they're doing in life, not only for income, but for retirement purposes also. And what the majority of these members realize really quick is that they have time and talent. They have both of those things going for them. And right now, they're just trading the time and talent to somebody else in exchange for a paycheck. But once they go through our educational process and they start to realize that they can take that time and they can take that talent and they can start to focus it in areas that are more conducive for what they're trying to achieve in their life. And when they make that epitome, when they make that informed decision, what happens at that point is they start to realize that everything that they've been doing up to that point was maybe not as effective as it could be with regards to them getting themselves positioned so that they can get out of the rat race. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. So let me just give you an example. And I'm gonna pick on the typical Lifestyles Unlimited mechanical engineer. Yeah, we've got mechanical engineers that are part of Lifestyles Unlimited. As a matter of fact, we've got mechanical engineers that we have helped retire themselves, so they're really no longer mechanical engineers. I mean, they have all the training, they have all the talent, they have all the time, but they're not doing that stuff anymore because what they have learned is that throughout the dynamic of their life, as they started moving through life and they started to realize that, you know, they were successful in school because those guys got good grades. Trust me, you don't get into mechanical engineering school with bad grades. So these people, they were competitive. They got good grades and they got into college and they got good grades in college. I mean, you remember these guys, they were always in the dorm studying. You were going to go out, you're going to play a little football, drink a few brewskis with the guys in the dorm, you know, but who was always in the dorm studying? Well, it was the engineers. Yeah, it was always the engineers. So those guys were studying. They were focused on getting not only that degree, but positioning themselves so that they could be competitive in the marketplace. Now, when you think about it, when you got a whole bunch of people that are mechanical engineers that come out of college, that have graduated, okay, all of a sudden now, if you're one of those mechanical engineers, you're in a different place than you've ever been before, because up until this point in your life, you've been able to trash everybody from a mental agility perspective. You know it. I know it. It's true. You were able to trash me in high school. You were able to trash me in college. But now you're coming out of college. You're going into the workforce. You've got that ME degree, but so do the other 500 people coming out of college with that degree. So now it gets a little bit more intense, right? Because now you're kind of like playing at the NFL level now, right? So now you've got to figure out, how do I do this? How do I become more competitive? So you bulk yourself up, so to speak, right? And you get into that game. And as you get into the workforce, it doesn't get any easier. You just keep doing the same things and just trying to bear down a little bit more. When we come back from the break, I forgot I was going to tell you about Bangladesh. All right, I will, I promise, after the break. It's going to blow your mind.
I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle. Think about being in prison every day. What do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Couldn't put up with it when I was there. Had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so Forbes, they published a report back in April 12th of this year. And Forbes indicated, based on this report, that America's 719 billionaires, you heard me correctly, Forbes has determined that America has 719 billionaires. Those billionaires, when assembled together, accounted for more than four times more money than all 165 million Americans on the bottom of the socioeconomic plane. Yeah, it was like $4.56 trillion worth of wealth compared to $1.01 trillion worth of wealth. So you might be thinking, oh, well Forbes sounds like they're picking on the billionaires, right? They're saying that they have too much money. I don't think that's what Forbes is saying. As a matter of fact, this is what I'm kind of taking away from that. 719 billionaires. Okay, that's a lot. 719 is a very big number. And you're thinking, well, not when you compare it to the fact we got 330 million Americans in the United States. It's a very small number. Okay, from that perspective, I agree with your approach. But 719 billionaires. Yeah, it's almost hard for me to say that. 719 billionaires. When's the last time we had 719 billionaires in this country? Never. Yeah, that's my point. We now have 719 of them. I remember, as a very younger man, the concept of people becoming a billionaire. I mean, back when I was younger, I mean, the big thing was, hey, man, you just got to get it to millionaire status. You just, if you can become a millionaire, you're golden. You are dialed in. And eventually, we started identifying the first billionaire, and then the second billionaire, and then the third billionaire, and then the fourth. Okay, so you know where I'm going, right? So now we've got 719 of them in this country. What that tells me is that we've got a whole lot more millionaires too, because you can't get to billionaire status unless you get to millionaire status. Now, I don't think the inflation that we're experiencing in this country is going to be enough inflation to help you and I get over the hump, so to speak, so that we can call ourselves millionaires. In other words, that we're going to earn our way to becoming millionaires. Because that recipe right there, it doesn't work. I just don't think you can earn your way to becoming a billionaire. In other words, working for somebody else. I think you can earn your way to becoming a billionaire when you're operating your businesses effectively, like most billionaires do, or they won't be billionaires for very long. Yeah, that's just the way it works. So think about it. The biggest problem that Americans have is that we buy into this lie that success can be achieved by working really hard. We buy into this lie. We've been fed it our entire lives. And then we get to a point in our life where we start to wonder, hey man, am I getting to where I think I'm supposed to be getting to? I mean, I'm in my 50s and I make okay money, but my body's starting to wear out. And, you know, the 60 plus hour work week is really starting to get much older than it used to be when I was in my 50s and 40s. Well, technically I'm in my 50s, right? Oh, you know where I was going. At a certain point, you, as well as I, and I've already had this, but what I'm about ready to describe, you've already had this happen to me, so I'm just going to tell you this is probably going to happen to you if it has not already happened to you as of yet. You're going to get to a point in your life where you're either going to have a financial catastrophe. That's what happened to me. Or you'll have a midlife crisis where you start to realize that your life is more than halfway over, yet everything that you have appeared to do in your life up to that point is failing you in obtaining the goals and objectives that you laid out for yourself. Yeah, those two things happen. And when those things happen, what tends to happen is you start to get into your mind and start trying to figure out, why are you all screwed up? And here's, and let me just cut to the chase. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not screwed up. You're actually a competent, capable human being. What is screwed up is the roadmap that you've been following. Yeah, it's the roadmap that has got you screwed up. It's not you. It's that roadmap. And I know this because I follow almost the identical roadmap that you're following right now. It's the roadmap of, I just got to keep slugging it out. I just got to keep enduring. I just got to keep pushing through this. I've got to get to that certain number in my 401k, or like in my case, I've got to get to that 20-year mark of active duty so I can get a retirement pension. Let's say you get all those things. Let's say you accomplish all those things like I did. I accomplished my 20 years of active duty. I receive a pension that I can't live off of. You heard me correctly. Okay, no, I will tell you. I could live off that pension. I most certainly could live off that pension. But it would require a dramatic change in what I deem appropriate for my lifestyle. You heard me correctly. I am living the lifestyle that I desire to live. And I'm living that lifestyle not because of anything that I did serving in the military for 27 years and in receiving a pension. No, I'm living that lifestyle because 4 years ago, I realized that everything was going wrong in my life. Financially, I was all screwed up. I was stuck and focused on working till the age of 70, and I just figured I was going to have to suck up my pride, put it in my back pocket, and move out smartly. And the more I tried to do that, the more it just agitated me. It just drove me bananas, because that's not who I am. I am not a show-up, check-the-box kind of guy. That doesn't work for me. So what does work for me? Well, becoming a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. That's what worked for me, because once I sat down and literally reprogrammed my brain, because that's what I had to do. I had to get rid of all of these things that I believed were absolutely correct. I had to change my opinion of what I thought to be correct, and I had to eliminate false beliefs. I had to get them out of my mind so that I could realize that by investing correctly in real estate, I'm going to do a lot of positive things financially for my family. And it just doesn't start overnight, but it begins overnight. And over time, as you continue to walk down the path of correctly investing your money based on returns from a cash flow perspective, from an equity perspective. Oh, by the way, that's something you really can't do in the stock market. Okay, there's a couple of stocks that will provide you some cash flow, but it's really an either-or kind of thing. In real estate, you can get it both. You can get both of them, and you want both of them because both of those things are what will help you to get to a place of retirement in the next 5 years, is what I should have said. So I've been talking about Bangladesh, right? I keep bringing up the fact that Bangladesh hit this list, and you're thinking, okay, what's going on with Bangladesh? All right. Well, the reason I'm going to go to Bangladesh is because I want you to understand that you might be a one percenter. You might be a one percenter. As a matter of fact, to be a one percenter in Bangladesh, you need to have annual pre-tax income of at least $42,750. Yeah, if you're making that kind of money and you're living in Bangladesh, you're a one percenter. All right, when we come back from the break, let's get real serious about this. Stick around.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue, and we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So Bangladesh, I hit you with Bangladesh in the last segment. And the reason I did it is really not to pick on Bangladesh. I'm not trying to pick on other countries. It's to point out that this whole 1% thing, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Why do you care about labels? Why do you care about obtaining 1% status or 10% status or or whatever some of the things are that you care about. See, I think those things, they're noise. They're noise. It's things that we as human beings decide that we're going to talk about because for whatever reason, we feel we just need to talk about them. And if you want to just talk, go ahead and just talk. I think what we really need to do, though, is we need to take a look at where your income streams are coming from. I think that's the first place we need to take a look at. Now, I receive income from 14 different sources. You heard me correctly, 14 different sources. Now, two of those sources are actual pensions. The first one's that military pension that I receive after 27 years of service in the Army. The second pension that I receive is for the slightly over 3 years of service that I did in municipal government after I retired from the military and figured, well, it's just government. I can go do that too and realize that I was a kind of a fish out of water. Now, that second pension, I think it pays me maybe $180 a month. I mean, it's that pension's big enough to take Tina out for a really nice dinner. Yeah, that's really the way I look at that pension. But I mentioned, you know, I've got 14 different sources of income, right? And two of them are pensions. One of the pensions isn't very, well, it's not that big. Let's just call it what it is. So what about those other 12 sources of income? Where are those coming from? Real estate. Yeah, you heard me correctly, real estate. Yeah, these are the investments that I have made since becoming a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. I've got different investments out there doing different things for me. I've got some investments in the single family space, and I'm really happy with those investments. As a matter of fact, those investments are throwing off a very nice amount of cash flow every month. They actually are producing better cash flow than my multifamily investments that I'm invested in. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with those single family investments. Now, on the multifamily side, I'm actually really happy with those too. And you're thinking, wait a minute, you just said those multifamilies are not paying you as much cash flow as those single families are. And yeah, you heard that correctly. And now you're thinking, okay, so what gives? How is it you could be like a famous single family and now all of a sudden multifamily is your number one guy? Well, it's really not my number one guy. They're really kind of, I treat them equally, to be honest with you, but they're all completely different. What I'm getting at is this. My single family properties, they produce better cash flows than my multifamily investments do. Part of the reason for that is the type of multifamily investments that I have made. In other words, I have chosen to invest into multifamily apartment communities that we're going to need some extra time on target, so to speak. In other words, these properties had a lot of things wrong with them. And as a result of that, the individual that I invested with that's running the project, we call those people lead investors, that person said, I'm going to need some time to get this thing all straightened out. So as a result, I'm not going to pay any distributions for a while. That would be the cash flow piece. And you know what I said? I said, totally fine. And here's why. In those apartment investments that I've made, they have a better potential for appreciation. In other words, in that multifamily space, that lead investor, by doing certain things, either to reposition the asset itself within the marketplace, or just by going into the interiors of that asset and rehabbing a particular unit and going through all the units and bringing them up to a new standard of quality. By doing these types of things, we can reposition those units in the marketplace and we can command better rents for them. People are willing to pay more money for a nicer product. That's just the way it is. I mean, that's the way it's always been, right? So as a result of that, those apartment communities actually are in a position to make me a lot more money in the form of capital gains. This is the problem single family has. If single family could force the valuation of the asset up the way multifamily does, all of my money would be in single family. I'm just here to tell you, if single family could do things the way multifamily does things, as far as being able to force appreciation, yeah, I'd have all my money in single family. But it doesn't. So as a result of that, I have money in single family, which helps me with my cash flow positioning. Now, those assets are still going up in value. Don't get me wrong. Those assets are actually doing very, very well in today's marketplace. But my multifamily investments, although they don't throw off the same kind of cash flow, not nearly the same percentages, they do tend to double my money a lot faster. And what I'm getting at is this concept that we need to get you to stop thinking of your household as something that you bring money into and then you turn around and you spend it on everything possible so that you get to the end of the month. And if you've done everything correctly, you still maybe have a couple bucks left. If you didn't do things correctly, you ran out of money a couple of days ago. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so the concept is this. I want you to start thinking about putting some of that money aside. Start carving some of that money out and setting it aside for investment. Now, if you're thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm already investing. I've got a 401k. All right. What I want you to do is go take a look at what type of return rates you're receiving in that 401k. And I also want you to ask yourself this very important question. When's the last time that 401k made a deposit into your personal checking account? Go ahead, think about it for a second. It never has it? And that's a problem. That is a huge problem with the type of investing you're doing right now. Because even if you're making all the right calls in your 401k, I mean, let's say you're taking an active position with investing in your 401k. Now, most people don't, but maybe you are. Even if you've got this thing fine-tuned like your favorite race car, until you get to the point where you're ready to start taking money out of that investment vehicle, that investment vehicle hasn't paid you a dime your entire life. As a matter of fact, the government tells you you can't touch it until you're 59 and a half. And if you want to touch it, we're going to penalize you 10%. They don't want you touching your money. I'm a little different. I want you touching your money. As a matter of fact, I want you to sit down and figure out where all your money's at. Figure out where all your money's at. Figure out what types of returns you're receiving on those investments. And then calculate where you're going to be in 5 years or maybe 10 years. And then what I want you to do is this. I want you to just make an assumption that one single family house can pay you about $400 a month in passive income. That works out to be just under $5,000 a year in income streams. And by the way, most of that income is offset by the depreciation that you're required to take by the IRS. It's called a paper loss. So what that paper loss does for you is it actually kind of balances out and kind of washes out the tax liability on that $5,000 that you're making. So what that really means is most of that $5,000 is staying in your pocketbook. As a matter of fact, most of that $5,000 got into your checkbook and it's just staying there. It's not being stripped out for taxes or Social Security or Medicare. Now, if one house can produce $5,000 a month in income for you, I want you to figure out what does it really take for you to operate your household. If the magic number, let's just say, is $60,000, and I don't mean a $60,000 annual salary from your job, I'm talking about how much money actually makes it into your checkbook. If $60,000 is your after-tax amount that you live off of annually, take that $60,000, divide it by $5,000, and what you come up with is the number 12. What that tells me is that we can get you retired on 12 single family properties. And the next step is we just got to figure out how much money you're working with so that we can build that plan to get you to that point of retirement in the next 5 years. It's really not that hard, but it's going to start with you making a very important step. Go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. When you get there, sign up for our free workshop, because that's where the rubber meets the road.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.